Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 5.3, Workflow Optimization and Continuous Improvement.
Glad to be here for this one.
If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Yeah, this is a topic that it really affects literally everyone.
It really does. I mean, I want you, the listener, to imagine spending like an entire Sunday afternoon building this ultimate, hyper-automated, perfectly color-coded dashboard to track, you know, all your projects.
Hold on, you know exactly where this is going.
Right. You feel just incredibly productive. But then by Wednesday, you completely abandon the whole thing because, well, it's just too exhausting to update. I think we have all been there.
Oh, totally. We absolutely have. And that phenomenon, it's actually the core premise we really need to unpack today.
Yeah.
Because people so often treat their productivity systems as like these static monuments, you know, like they build it once and then just admire it forever.
Like it's finished.
Exactly. But a workflow, it cannot remain static because your environment doesn't remain static. I mean, the goals you have, the responsibilities you take on, the context you're working within, they are constantly shifting.
Always. Especially now.
Right. So if your system doesn't evolve alongside those realities, it doesn't just stop helping you. It actively starts harming your actual output.
Which makes me think about like a smartphone operating system.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, because when you first unbox a new phone, it runs flawlessly, right? Like everything is snappy.
Beautiful. Fast.
Exactly. But over time, if you keep hitting that remind me later button on the software updates, things just start to degrade.
They really do. You start getting those weird glitches.
Yeah, and it's not just that you're missing out on cool new features. Mechanically, what happens is that those outdated background tasks, they start eating up all your RAM. The battery drains way faster.
The phone just gets incredibly sluggish.
Exactly. And your personal workflow operates on that exact same mechanism.
Yeah.
When you don't update your processes, outdated tasks, and all those little friction points, they eat up your cognitive RAM.
That is such a crucial concept. Cognitive RAM.
Right. Because you are walking around with less mental battery life for your actual work.
Yeah.
You really can't just set a system and forget it. So think about your own workflow right now. Is it running smoothly or is it due for a patch update?
I love that cognitive RAM lens, because when we ignore those necessary updates to our workflow, we essentially create what psychologists call open loops.
Open loops.
Yeah, basically unresolved tasks or just messy processes that your brain has to constantly monitor in the background. Like it's always running.
Ugh, that sounds exhausting.
It is. And the consequences of that kind of stagnation are actually pretty steep. I mean, we see severe inefficiency because, well, you are basically reinventing the wheel every single time you start a task.
Because you don't have a standardized way to do it.
Right. So we see massive amounts of waste of time, and mistakes get repeated, obviously, because there is no updated process preventing them. And ultimately, all of that generates just a tremendous amount of unnecessary stress.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
But on the flip side, the value of continuous improvement is completely transformative. Actively evolving your systems, it builds adaptability. It drastically increases your efficiency because you're actively removing that friction.
You're greasing the wheels.
Exactly. And it creates reliable consistency. You don't have to rely on just being, you know, highly motivated every morning to get things done. You rely on the system.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second here.
Go for it.
Isn't constantly tweaking your system just another form of procrastination? At what point do we stop optimizing and just do the work? I mean, we all know people who spend way more time reorganizing their task tags than they do actually checking off the tasks themselves.
Oh, 100%. That is a very, very common trap because our brains are completely wired to crave those quick dopamine hits, right?
You're checking a box feels good.
Right. Or color coding a calendar, reorganizing a list. It feels productive. It gives you that dopamine rush of accomplishment, but without requiring the heavy cognitive lifting of the actual project.
It's like fake work.
It is fake work. And this is exactly where the concept of reflection becomes your primary diagnostic tool. Because regular review isn't about avoiding the work. True optimization means the actual work takes less time and less effort in the long run.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So if your adjustments aren't measurably reducing friction or saving you time, You aren't optimizing. You are just distracting yourself.
I love that distinction. Reflection is the diagnostic tool that tells you when to optimize, which naturally means it also tells you when to just leave the system alone.
Exactly.
So let's move this into the digital realm, looking at the tools we actually use to build these systems.
Mm.
Things like Notion, ClickUp, Trello.
Right, the digital ecosystems. They are incredibly powerful, but they really require a high degree of self-awareness. Because part of continuous improvement is running these small experiments to see which productivity approach actually fits the demands of your current workload.
Like finding the right tool for the job.
Yeah. So say you have a simple Kanban board in Trello. That might be the perfect low-friction tool for managing like a collaborative group presentation.
Just moving cards from left to right.
Exactly. Super simple. But if you try to use that exact same simple Trello board to manage an entire university semester, multiple syllabi, overlapping deadlines, tons of research notes, the system is going to break under the weight.
It's just not built for that.
Right. In that case, you might need to pivot to a more robust database tool like Notion or ClickUp.
Here's where it gets really interesting. How do you know when a tool like Notion or ClickUp is actually helping versus when it's just adding a new layer of busy work to your day? Because let's be honest, you can build some incredibly complex NASA-level dashboards in those apps.
Oh, easily. And that's the danger. The relationship between complexity and effectiveness is completely nonlinear.
Meaning more complex doesn't mean better.
Not at all. The ultimate goal of any digital tool is to amplify your effectiveness. But adaptability means recognizing when a tool's maintenance tax.
Maintenance tax. What's that?
It's the time it takes to, you know, input the data, tag it, link it, organize it. When that maintenance tax exceeds the value of the output, you have a problem.
Oh, right. Like if you spend 30 minutes configuring a database just to track a task that takes 10 minutes to actually do.
Exactly. The system is failing you at that point. The complexity itself has become the bottleneck.
But it's so funny because when you look at how people actually work, especially when they're really trying to be a professional, they often equate complexity with competence. Like, look at my crazy system. I must be doing great.
Yep. It's a huge misconception. There's actually a great case study we're looking at that completely flips this assumption on its head.
Oh, the student case study, right?
Yeah. This scenario involving a student who is trying to manage a really heavy workload. They started out by trying to implement literally every possible feature of a digital workspace.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. They had interconnected databases, rolling deadlines, customized priority tags, basically the works.
Sounds exhausting.
It was. What they found was that they were spending their prime study hours just doing administrative upkeep on the system itself.
Paying that maintenance tax.
Heavily. So they successfully improved their productivity, but not by finding a newer, flashier app. They improved by actively ripping down the architecture.
Wow.
They eliminated all the unnecessary task management complexity and literally stripped the system down to the bare essentials.
So they downgraded the complexity to upgrade the productivity.
That is a perfect way to phrase it. And if we scale that student scenario up to the future workplace, this becomes a critical survival skill.
Oh.
Well, as you step into digitally enabled careers, the environment is just going to shift constantly. You'll have a manager who changes priorities overnight, or your company will migrate to entirely new software stacks. Teams will dissolve and reform.
The ground is always moving.
Exactly. And if your personal workflow is overly rigid, heavily automated, and deeply complex, you will shatter when the environment changes. You just won't be able to pivot.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I'm thinking of a complex digital workflow like a hyper-organized physical desk.
Okay, let's hear it.
Imagine you have this massive office, right? And you have 20 different highly specific filing cabinets.
Sounds impressive.
It does. Visually, it looks amazing.
Right.
One for invoices, one for client notes, one for marketing ideas.
Yep.
All subdivided by date, by color. But think about the friction of retrieval.
Oh, finding things.
Right. If you have to spend 20 minutes just trying to find a single sticky note because you can't remember which of the 20 cabinets you filed it in, your system is broken.
Complete.
It has way too many layers of friction. Whereas a simple system, maybe just three trays for to do, doing, and done, that is infinitely more sustainable because the retrieval friction is near zero.
Sustainability is the vital metric there. And that idea of sustainability, it's deeply connected to how we manage our mental energy and our well-being in a digital workspace.
Yeah, well-being is huge here.
It is. We noted earlier that a weak workflow generates unnecessary stress. Responsible use of technology means recognizing that these digital tools exist to serve our well-being and to protect our time.
They shouldn't be the thing causing us anxiety.
Exactly. They shouldn't be an additional source of stress.
Which leads to a tough question. Are we sometimes irresponsible with our own time and mental energy by refusing to let go of a complicated system just because it looks impressive?
I think we absolutely are. It's actually a phenomenon called performative productivity, and pushing back against it requires immense self-awareness.
It's hard to let go of something that looks cool.
It is, but gaining that self-awareness means prioritizing your long-term effectiveness and your mental health over flashy digital architecture.
Right.
Being truly responsible with your technology means having the maturity to look at a highly rated app and say, you know what? This tool is powerful, but it is too heavy for my current needs. It's draining my cognitive load.
Wow, so you have to set boundaries, not just with other people, but with your own tools.
Precisely. You have to be the boss of your system, not the other way around.
So we've diagnosed the issue. We know we need to avoid the massive 20-filing cabinet approach to our digital lives. We know we have to protect our cognitive RAM from performative productivity. But what does the execution of this actually look like? Like, if someone listening wants to build this habit today, where do they start?
The most actionable strategy is to implement a weekly review. You really have to make reflection a recurring scheduled habit.
Okay, otherwise you just forget.
Right, and the friction will slowly build up without you even noticing. So during this weekly review, you want to conduct an activity audit on your current system.
Okay, an activity audit?
Yes, and this audit breaks down into four specific investigative steps. First, you look for the strengths. What is actually flowing smoothly? Yep. Second, you hunt for the inefficiencies. Where are the bottlenecks? Third, you identify the distractions. What elements of your system are pulling your focus away from deep work? And fourth, you look for improvement opportunities. Where can you strip away a layer of complexity or maybe test a simpler approach?
Let's break those down a bit more because it sounds like a comprehensive health checkup for your workflow.
Yeah.
Starting with strengths, I assume this is so you don't accidentally throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Precisely that. You need to know what is naturally aligning with your working style. If a simple paper notebook for your daily to-dos is working flawlessly, you protect that.
Don't mess with it.
Exactly. You don't digitize it just for the sake of being digital.
Right. And then the inefficiencies and bottlenecks. This is looking for those friction points, right?
Yeah.
Like realizing you spend an hour every Friday compiling a report because your data is scattered across four different apps.
Yes. A bottleneck is basically anywhere information slows down or requires manual, repetitive effort to move to the next stage.
Got it.
Once you identify those, you look at the third element, distractions. Yeah. And this requires radical honesty.
Oh, honesty is tough.
It is. Are you using a complex tagging system that provides zero actual value to the final product? Are you getting pinged with notifications from a project management tool for tasks that don't even involve you?
Oh, I hate that.
Right. Those are system-generated distractions. You have to weed them out.
And finally, improvement opportunities, which brings up a great point. So what does this all mean for someone starting from scratch?
Mm-hmm.
How do they begin testing these new approaches? Like, what if you do this audit and realize your current system isn't just inefficient, it's completely broken?
If you have to rip it down to the studs, that is where we need to dive into the foundational frameworks. The recommended resources for this module point directly to the methodologies found in three specific titles: Atomic Habits, The Lean Startup, and Getting Things Done.
Okay, so those are the blueprints.
Exactly. These aren't just reading recommendations. They are the mechanical blueprints for building workflows that are actually sustainable.
Let's look at how they function, starting with Atomic Habits. Now, that I think a lot of people assume that's just a book about, you know, waking up early or drinking more water.
Mm-hmm.
How does it apply to digital workflow optimization?
Mechanically, it's all about the compounding nature of microscopic changes. If you want to optimize a workflow, you don't overhaul your entire life overnight. That never works.
Right.
Instead, you apply rules like the 2-minute rule. If a task takes less than 2 minutes, you don't log it in a database. You just do it right then.
Reduce the friction.
Exactly. It teaches you how to reduce the friction of good behaviors. If you want to review your workflow weekly, you don't just toss it on a calendar. You habit stack it. You attach the review to an existing habit, like drinking your Friday morning coffee.
So you engineer your environment so that updating your system is literally the path of least resistance.
Exactly. Now, the Lean Startup is the next one.
Yeah, that one sounds like it belongs in a Silicon Valley boardroom, not a personal productivity discussion.
It totally does, but it absolutely applies to personal productivity through a mechanism called the build, measure, learn loop.
Build, measure, learn. Okay.
When the startup wants to launch a product, they don't spend 5 years perfecting it in secret. They build a minimum viable product, an MVP. They release it, measure how users react, learn from that data, and then they iterate.
Oh, I see.
You must do the exact same thing with your workflow. Build a minimum viable system, try a basic Trello board for 1 week, measure how much time it saves you, learn where it breaks down, and then adapt it.
So don't spend a month building a Notion workspace before testing if you even like using Notion.
Exactly. Test quickly, fail quickly, adapt continuously.
Build, measure, learn. It treats your productivity like an ongoing experiment rather than like a final exam you have to pass perfectly.
That's a great way to put it.
And then the third framework is getting things done. I feel like this is the godfather of modern productivity systems.
It really is. And its core mechanical value lies in the capture phase. The entire philosophy is built around closing those open loops we talked about earlier.
Getting things out of your head.
Right, because your brain is a terrible place to store information. It is designed for processing, not storage. Getting things done provides the methodology for systematically capturing every idea, task, and responsibility out of your head and putting it into a trusted external system.
And once you trust that your system is holding that information securely, your cognitive RAM finally frees up.
Exactly. You stop constantly worrying about what you might be forgetting, which drastically reduces that unnecessary stress we identified as a major consequence of a weak workflow.
So to truly master this, it's not just about, downloading the latest app that some tech influencer recommended. It is about understanding the underlying psychology and mechanics behind how work actually gets done.
Precisely.
You use Atomic Habits to manage the friction. You use the Lean Startup to experiment and iterate safely. And you use getting things done to clear your mental RAM.
That synthesis is exactly right. To bring all of these concepts together, the core takeaways for your future career are really clear. First, reflection is what drives productivity. It provides that self-awareness to distinguish between actual optimization and just procrastination.
Right.
Second, simple systems are almost always more sustainable than complex ones. Protect your cognitive bandwidth by ruthlessly eliminating unnecessary maintenance tasks. And finally, adaptability is the ultimate skill. Your ability to rebuild and iterate those systems as your environment changes is what will secure your long-term effectiveness.
It's an ongoing process.
It is. Continuous improvement isn't just a strategy, it is the engine that supports your entire professional growth.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a quick knowledge check. You don't need to write these down, but as you go about your day-to-day, just pose these questions to yourself. Think about what we've unpacked. Ask yourself, why should your workflows be reviewed regularly? How is your own reflection improving your productivity? And why is adaptability so crucial for your future?
Those are the vital diagnostic questions for sure. And as a final acknowledgement of the frameworks that allow us to answer those questions, the methodologies we explore today, specifically drawing from Atomic Habits, the Lean Startup, and Getting Things Done, they serve as the foundational texts for understanding this module's approach to continuous improvement.
And here is the final provocative thought, the official reflection prompt for you to mull over as you close this out. How can I continuously improve my productivity systems and workflows? Don't settle for a sluggish operating system. Don't let those background tasks drain your mental battery. Keep looking for that next patch update, but make sure it's an update that actually simplifies your life. Stay curious, stay responsible, and stay future ready. And remember, to truly lock this knowledge in, make sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Thank you so much for listening.